Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan. Engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and today's show is titled The Power of Gratitude. Please note that all the chat board questions will be answered on the chat board on next week's show and also on my website in a few days. We encourage and welcome your questions. Thought is the most powerful force in existence. The universal consciousness created the cosmos through thought, and we are part of the universal consciousness. So we also have great powers. All we need to do is learn how to use our thoughts more effectively. One of those ways is to bring more gratitude into our lives. Our show today, our guest today on today's show is MJ Ryan, author of Attitudes of Gratitude, How to Give and Receive Joy Every Day of Your Life. She is the author of numerous books, to include the New York Times bestseller, Random Acts of Kindness. She's also been on many radio and TV shows, to include the Today Show. And her work has appeared in numerous publications, to include the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Ladies Home Journal, and many others. MJ Ryan is an expert in human fulfillment and coaches entrepreneurs, executives, and leadership teams. MJ Ryan, welcome to the show, MJ.
I'm happy to be with you today, Dave.
Hey, it's great to have you. What's that?
My favorite topic is gratitude.
Yeah, well, I could see why it might be after writing Attitudes of Gratitude, and I read it and really enjoyed it. It's a it's an interesting book. Why don't we start out with just trying to understand, you know, what is gratitude? Is it simply appreciation, or is there more to it than that?
Well, it's a recognition of the good things in our lives. That's really what it is. But I've come to see that it's more than a. You have to actually do it. It's not just like, oh, I remember the moment that I realized this. I was standing in the National Cathedral in Washington talking about Attitudes of Gratitude, huge room full of people, and somebody raised their hand and asked a question about how is it really this easy and how does it work? And I said, well, just think about something that you know, tell me why you appreciate. And, oh, I know. She was saying that her teenage daughter was driving her crazy. And I was talking about how we can use it with other people to make ourselves feel better about them when they're driving us crazy. So I said something like, well, what do you really appreciate about your daughter? And she goes, well, she's this and she does that. And I could tell she wasn't feeling it. She was just reciting a list, right?
Yeah, right.
And so that does not work, whether you put it in writing or you say it or whatever. If you're just doing it like as an exercise, okay, I'm going to say what I'm grateful for right now, you have to actually feel it, like really take it in, really recognize, really notice when you think about it, like, wow, she really does have those cute dimples, for instance. And she has, you know, when she sends me texts, she says, I love you. Yeah. Take it in. So it's the receiving of the good things in our lives. It's not just the recognition of them, but it's the actual allowing us to be affected by the good things in our lives.
We seem to have a tendency, maybe it's a habit that we have, you know, we say thank you, and for things, little things, you know, thanks, you know, this mm-hmm. and that. Sometimes I wonder if we mean it. I mean, we don't not mean it, but we don't necessarily...
Well,
you
I think that's
paying attention to it.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between manners and gratitude.
Okay,
and hopefully
good.
Our parents have taught us manners, and part of manners is to say thank you. But again, are you allowing yourself to actually experience the fact that you have received something from this other person? It's really about letting what's happening in that's good for us touch us in some way. Shape or form, to recognize that we've been that this person's done something wonderful, and that's different. That goes deeper than manners.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, of course, we're all striving for happiness, and we each have chosen a path which we hope will leads us there. But clearly, money and fame and material wealth and power are no guarantee of happiness. You know, many people that have reached those have have explained that to us in great detail. What do we need to bring us happiness?
Well, I think I've actually thought a lot about this, and I've written about it. And in my experience, there's two pathways to happiness. The path of fulfillment, and which is when we are using our gifts and talents on behalf of the community around us, the world, some sense of purpose, like I'm here to help, and here's how I am supposed to can help, and I'm doing that. That's the path of fulfillment. And then the path of what we might call satisfaction, and that's where we enjoy the simple pleasures of life. And this is where gratitude helps us get happy, because gratitude is, you know, this recognition and taking in of the good things. And so those are both totally and completely legitimate ways to get happy. And often when I work with people about this, I say, you know, which we tend to be good at one of them and not at the other. So the path of fulfillment was always easy for me. It was really the path of appreciating the goodness around me that I needed to work on. And that's why I wrote this book.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. You talk about it being gratitude, being an attitude. I mean, that is basically the name of the book. And you say that we choose our attitude. So are we basically saying here that we simply make happiness a choice?
Yes. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't bad. So the thing that I had to really, really learn in order for this to work about the practice of gratitude is recognizing that gratitude is not an either or experience. You don't wait. I thought you had to wait till your life was perfect. Everything was wonderful. A special Thanksgiving where you had no fights with anyone in your family. And
about a long wait here.
All the food was fabulous. Yeah. But this is in addition to, it's like things can be happening that are not great. It's an and experience. Yes, life is not perfect. Your life isn't perfect. There's a lot of hard things maybe in it right this minute. And what in this moment can you appreciate? In even though everything else, all the other stuff is happening. So it's not having to negate the difficulty, but it's looking for what can I appreciate anyway. It's like a flashlight, you know, and you can shine. If you go out in the dark in your backyard at night, you can shine your flashlight on anything, right? And it's dark out there, but when you shine a flashlight on it, then a particular piece, like a flower or, a tree, then suddenly you notice it. That's what it is. It's a noticing of what's already there. It's all there, the good and the bad. And I learned this from my father when he was dying. That's how I really got the power of gratitude. He was dying. He was like maybe a week away from death. He was dying of emphysema, which is a terrible gasping death. And he was sitting there breathing really hard and really struggling. And I sat for a long, long time with him. And then finally I said, "Dad, is your life still worth living?" I don't know why I asked him that question, because what was he going to do about it? And what was I going to do about it? Nothing. I don't know why. I just blurted out. And he looked at me and he said, "I like to watch the ball game on TV. I like to read the comics in the newspaper. Sometimes it's easier to take a breath. My life is good."
Yeah, that's a good attitude right to the end.
That's an attitude of gratitude. It was all there. He knew he was struggling. He was a doctor. He knew he was dying. And it wasn't all pleasant, but he was focusing on the things he still could appreciate and enjoy, and therefore he was as happy as he could be under the circumstances. That's what the magic is.
Yeah. You made a couple of special points in the book that stuck out to me. I mean, you made a lot of them, but a couple of them kind of stuck out. One of them was, the only thing the world cannot take from us is our attitude. I really like that.
Yeah, that comes from Viktor Frankl, you know, the famous guy who wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. And he was in the Holocaust, and he was a scientist. He was trying to figure out how come some people in concentration camps lived and others died. It didn't all have to do with the Nazis were doing. A lot of people gave up emotionally and spiritually, essentially, and other people didn't. And they, even though it was horrible and they were suffering, they still found meaning in their lives and they still had purpose, and therefore they were happier than the other people. And he was the one who then articulated this desire for meaning, seeing our lives in a bigger purpose. And he said, the only thing that can't be taken from us, even in a place like this, is our attitude towards what's happening to us.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great viewpoint on life. And if attitude is so important for happiness, it brings it home that you can, if you want to be happy, you can be happy, but you have to, you have to pay attention to it, and you have to put a little effort into it. But you can be sad too. You can choose if you want to be unpleasant.
Yeah, and it's sometimes totally legitimate to be sad or to be righteously upset or there's legitimate things that go on in life that are challenging and difficult. I think it's more about, in general, what's our set point? You know, do we tend to the gloomy? Do we tend to see the, everything in, as negative and looking on the downside? If that's true, then the practice of really saying, I'm going to change this and I'm going to start focusing on what's right instead of what's wrong in my lives can have a really profound effect and make us happy.
Yeah. And, to go along with that, another thing you said that I really enjoyed is that you say the easiest way to victimize people is to make them believe they are a victim.
Mm.
And, how many people do we know that, they really focus an awful lot of their life on boy, I've been picked on in life. And, then, of course, we're in probably the worst political election scene that we've ever been in. And almost all the time, that you hear is that, we're a victim of something. All right. There's not one group out there that hasn't been victimized, if you believe most of or certainly some of our electoral options here.
Well, what's really interesting about this is that, again, feeling like a victim is feeling like, noticing what's wrong again and feeling stuck. Like if I grab you by the arm, you can, what our attention tends to do is goes to focus on the fact that I'm holding your arm, right? So I got you by the wrist and you start to pull away from that and this let go of me, you're holding on my wrist. But if you pay attention, how much of you is actually stuck? What percentage of your body is actually stuck? It's like 10% max, not even 5%.
Right.
If you focus instead on where you're free, you can move around all fine as long and actually get away from me. It's a martial art trick. But if you're focusing on where I'm holding on, you can't get away if I'm really strong. And what this is about is that we have this negativity bias in our brain that comes from our limbic system. So the primitive part of our brain that we inherited from our reptilian past tells us to pay attention to this threat, pay attention to the problem. And what that does is if it was a tiger actually chasing us, that would be a good thing. We don't want to be smelling the roses while the tiger is about to eat us. But because fortunately we live in a world where tigers are not trying to eat us, it actually works against us because we keep noticing the problem instead of all the rest of what's going on. So one of the scientists who writes about this says our brains are Teflon for the positive and Velcro for the negative.
That's that is really so true. But it's kind of the way we're trained to, to exist. I used to run a company before I retired, and you'd go in the morning and maybe you'd win a contract, and you're happy, but you don't focus on that. You focus on your problems. And that's right. What everybody does. And if you don't focus on your problems, they'll run away and then they'll come back and get you. So you have to deal with those problems.
Yes.
So we're kinda oriented to be problem focused. And clearly that's that's something that we need to understand. And maybe if we just appreciated that, that's what we're doing, but that's not life. That's not all of life.
That's not all of, exactly. Yep. And the so we're wired that way. We really are wired to notice the negative and to see the problems. And that's fine because we, of course, have to deal with them. That's why gratitude is an and experience. So and besides this problem, what's good? What's wonderful? What's enjoyable? What can we appreciate right now? That then balances it off so that we aren't only focused on the negative and so that our lives actually are happier.
Yeah, exactly. Do you believe in the law of attraction where, you know, we reap what we sow?
Well, I think it's, I think there is a truth to it. I think that there is, I believe that we can use our energy in three different ways. And in fact, when I work with folks, I teach them this. So one is dynamic, which we know is that we're very familiar with, which is the get out there and make something happen right by our action. That's dynamic energy. Another is receptive energy, which actually gratitude is one experience of, which is opening yourself up to receive, and the recognition of receiving. And the third is magnetic, which is the drawing to you of which you want. That is what the law of attraction is about. But I think that it isn't just simply, you have to use all three of those energy states. It isn't just opening yourself up in it to receive. It isn't just racing out to try to make things happen. It is also drawing to you what you want. And the skillful using of all three is how we actually, I believe, get what we want in our lives. We can't just sit on our couch and magnetize, you know, $1 million.
Right. Right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the benefits. If we're going to take the, if we don't want to be a sourpuss all the time, that means we have to put some energy into this. What are some of the benefits? And one of them that you mentioned in the book, which I found startling and I'd like you to talk about, is you said that practicing gratitude, somebody did a study, and you probably know who it was, that it adds 6.9 years to your life to practice gratitude. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, the why that's true is probably a combination of two things. What they've discovered, so there's been a lot of research in the last 10 years on gratitude and in all of the positive emotions, actually. Suddenly, their psychologists woke up and said, we've only been studying what's wrong with people. What if we study people who are happy and healthy and notice the habits they do? And so when they did that, one of the very first things that stood out was, wow, people who are happier practice gratitude. What does gratitude do for us? And then all these studies started. So part of why you live longer is that when you practice gratitude, you actually take better care of yourself. So people who kept a weekly gratitude journal, they actually exercised more regularly, ate better, and got regular checkups. Why, would you say? Why do you think that you take better care of yourself if you practice gratitude?
Yeah, right.
It's because you see life is good, and you see life is an amazing opportunity that you want to be part of, and so you want to hang around as long as you can, right? But okay. There's a deeper reason underneath that as to why we see these positive, this longevity stuff, which is that, and it comes back from a woman at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Her name is Barbara Friedrichsen. And she actually asked the question, why do we have, human beings have the positive emotions? We know why we have the negative ones. It's to protect us from bad things happening. But why do we have the good ones? And through her research, what she discovered is that the positive ones, including gratitude, bring our minds, bodies, and spirits back from the bad ones. They bring us back into balance. They help us recover from the effects of the negative emotions. And so specifically, the opposite of all of the happy things we're talking about here is the stress response, right? When we get angry, when we are experiencing stress, we are in the fight of fight or flight. And part of what happens in the fight or flight response is these hormones, cortisol and adrenaline, race through our system to try to help us, save us from the bad thing, the tiger that's about to get us. So these hormones are toxic to the body. They're meant to be burned off either fighting or running. But instead, since we're having these threats are more emotional and social now, the hormones stay in our bodies and have negative effects, including the suppression of our immune system. Because the body mind thinks, forget long-term survival, I have to save you from this tiger right this second. And the compromise I'm making is turning off this system so I can turn on this other system to protect you. So when we live in a lot of stress, our immune systems are suppressed and the cortisol and adrenaline are doing damage to all the tissues in our body. When we practice gratitude, we actually change our biochemistry. The immune system comes back online, cortisol and adrenaline levels reduce, and so therefore we live longer because we're not wearing and tearing our bodies down, basically.
Right, right. We're talking to MJ Ryan, author of Attitudes of Gratitude. Yeah, I'll tell you another thing that you brought out in the book that I think is a benefit. We like to be around people that are grateful. We enjoy being around them, and I can only assume that if we were more grateful and had a better attitude, people would like to be around us more, and that's got to be a positive.
Yeah. So emotions are contagious. Essentially, they're the only system in the body it's called an open loop. So if I stand next to you, we're having an interaction, we are affecting each other emotionally by how we feel. And so people like to be around people who are happy and grateful because it makes you feel better. And these effects are really profound. You know, they found how the contagion of social groups, you know, that relating to weight and to happiness. So when we're happier because we're more grateful, then people are attracted to us as well, and therefore we get happier because we're having more happy social, you know, enjoyable experiences. So it's an upward spiral of happiness.
Yeah, yeah. And I would think, and I don't think anybody likes to be angry. It's kind of the low ebb of our day. But I would think it would be hard to be angry and grateful at the same time.
Yeah, right. It's not really possible. And in fact, that's why I call it just-in-time gratitude. It's one of the key ways I use it. So people say to me, do you keep a gratitude journal? And I've written and studied about gratitude for a long time now. And no, I do not keep a gratitude journal. I do two practices of gratitude. One is at the dinner table, with whoever, my family and whoever else is there, we all go around and say one thing we're grateful for every day. And the other thing is that when I'm feeling annoyed or frustrated by a loved one, inside my mind, I think to myself, what do I really, really appreciate about this person? And I force myself to focus on what is good about them that I love and appreciate. And that helps me not be angry. It helps me not be snippy or act in ways that I don't want to. It's very, very useful.
Yeah, that's a good set of habits to get yourself into. It kind of snaps you out of your gloom and doom that we can get into every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. I remember the very first time I did it, I had been traveling to see clients. I was traveling in the Middle East. I'd come home. I live in the West Coast, and when you travel from the Middle East, it's 22 hours on a plane. And you'll land the day, you know, the earlier in the same day in the afternoon, right? It's a 11-hour time difference. So you're just home, you're just wrecked, right? So I walk in the door, and there's my little kid, and she's, I don't know, 7 or 8, and she's so happy to see me, and my husband's missed me. I've been gone for a week, and they're so excited to see me. And I'm like, just leave me alone is what I'm thinking in my mind, right? And it's dinner time now, and I'm sitting at a table. So because we have this practice, I'm forced to think of something that I appreciate, right? And I do, and suddenly I feel better, and I'm so happy to be with them, and it was a miracle. So I really encourage everyone to give it a try when they're feeling lousy about people.
Yeah. You in your book, you mentioned 12 different things, gifts, if you will, that gratitude provides us, and we talked about a couple of them. But one of the things we haven't talked about, and some of them are things like joy and better health, and one of them is it eradicates worry. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite one because I am the world's biggest worrier. So I really am.
You know, that's not easy being the world's biggest worrier because you have a lot of competition out there.
I know, but I guarantee you I am. And all of my friends are therapists. So everyone is in my life has given me all kinds of techniques, and I've read a million books about how to deal with worry, right? But I never really exactly, I still was always worrying, and I still can, but I do know the solution. And the solution is the practice of gratitude. So when I started really researching and working with gratitude, I realized, wow, I'm not as worried, because here's why. Worry is always about the future, even if the future is like 5 minutes from now, like you're about to go get test results from a doctor, right? You know, and you're afraid of something bad. But that's still the future. It hasn't happened yet. And so when gratitude is always about right this second, what you can right this minute, everything's okay. You're still here. And so it brings us back to this very present moment and in which you're okay. It's a practice. Whenever I find my mind going into the future and going, but what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what if that happens, I go, and in this moment, I'm okay. My daughter's okay. There hasn't been an earthquake in the, you know, like, cause I can worry a lot about San Francisco earthquakes. Right. Now there is none. Yay.
You know, the other thing that you want on your list of 12 is it joins us to all life.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, I think that it helps us recognize that we're part of something that's larger than us, right? You know, and however we think about that has got to do with our own spiritual orientation, right? So if in the practice of gratitude, you feel that you feel like some larger, higher power has given you these gifts, then you're connected to that. Or if you recognize that life is so full of amazing and wonderful surprises and gifts for us, it's a way of connecting us to a larger sense of life than just me here by myself, isolated and alone.
Yeah,
you experienced that, Dave. What's it for you? Because I heard your introduction to your show. So tell me how.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what life's all about, and in between all of my working years, and there's no question in my mind that we are part of a bigger consciousness. I think our consciousness, I think we're eternal beings having a life experience. This is like we're on a business trip, if you will. And business trips are not easy.
I love that.
Right. And so we're here to learn things. And then when we die, you know, that's, you know, we should celebrate. You know, I mean, other people don't celebrate when we die because they miss us, or at least you hope they miss us a little bit. But they should celebrate because we're done with this business trip. We'll have others in the future. But now we've learned what we've learned. So we're part of a bigger scheme. We clearly have a purpose, and our purpose is to evolve. And there is no end to our evolution. And we're trying to perfect our soul. And that's a tough task, but we have eternity to do it, and nobody expects us to ever get there. So that larger view of life really makes it a lot. You know, it makes being having gratitude, I think, a lot easier if you realize that, hey, you know, we're all just in this for the short term for this span, but in it for the long term. And then you start looking at, you know, what is the universe all about? And you put it out, I think, really well in your book, where you said the universe is friendly, it's all caring, it's a school for us to learn in, And it's a, you know, it's a great place if you appreciate it.
Well, yeah, whether the universe is friendly or not is something that I've really worked on as a practice. Because of the negativity bias. When I was younger, I used to always focus on all that was bad, right? And there was lots of stuff that is bad. And so, but I realized that, you know, focusing on that only made me unhappier and sort of stuck to do anything about it, right? And so when I'm willing to say, the universe is friendly and there's lots of wonderful things and I'm part of that and I can influence it, then I feel happier, right? It's a choice.
Right. But if the bad things that happen to us or what we appear to have them bad are really lessons for us to learn. You know, one of the things that you had in your book, and maybe this is a good time to talk about it, is you said we should go back and look at our life and pick the 12 or some number of the most difficult challenges we've had in our life. And you probably don't want to pick the ones you're in right now because,
no.
You know, you'd be hard to find the positive things. But if you go back over the years, and the older you are, the more you got to go back to. And then say, all right, let's think about, you know, what came out of it? How did I change? How did I grow? Talk about that a little bit, because that was a wonderful exercise to do.
So this is the graduate school level of gratitude, I think, which is how gratitude helps us build resilience. So resilience is the ability to bounce back from hard things. And it turns out that one of the absolute keys to resilience, so it's a quality, we can grow it in ourselves. It isn't like a magical thing that some people have and others don't. We can learn it. And one of the ways to create greater resilience is the practice of gratitude. And it's noticing, recognizing that how we've grown and learned through past difficulties, so that we can trust that this difficulty we can get through, number one, and that two, it will feel better later that we've grown and learned as a result. But this is something that only you can do for yourself, and you can only do it in your time when it's okay to look at it this way. You don't want to do it in the moment when the bad thing is happening, right? So I'll never forget, my sister called me one day. She's had a lot of really hard things in her life. She called me up and said that her house had burned down. And this was about a couple of years ago. And she was very upset. And part of what she was saying was, you know, why do all these terrible things keep happening to me? And you know, in the fire, that they lost everything, but except pets and people. So yay, that, you know, so that was
right.
Good. But I didn't say anything except I was empathetic. And then maybe a couple months later, not more than 2 months later, she called me up and said, you know, I am so glad. I said, you know, I'm not happy my house burned down, but, you know, I'm really excited about having this new beginning. I didn't want any of that stuff anyway, and now it's all gone, and I get to start all over. And she built a beautiful new house. It's absolutely wonderful, better suited in the design than the other one. And she ends up being happy that it happened, right? It's like... But you can't go there until you're ready to go there, and
yeah.
you have to go through the grief and the anger and all the other emotions that come when these things initially hit us. But I haven't met anyone who hasn't learned something amazing through the process of going through the hard things in their lives. I haven't met anyone who doesn't say to me things like, "Cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me," you know. No one else can do it for you. When we do that to somebody else, we really, I think, make a huge offense.
Right.
It's their task to come to that in their own time, in their own way, in their own learning. And all we can do is support them going through the process.
I found that during my years at work, when my biggest problems were the ones I learned the most from, because, you know, when things go well, in all honesty, we don't know why, you know, it just kind of happens and we're happy and, oh yeah, maybe we can come up with some reasons. But if things go poorly, we understand every little piece of the problem, because we can't get out of it if we don't. And it's forcing us to look at things at a much, much more closely, and to really understand what's happening and learn to deal with it. And so I find that I've learned so much more in my life from my problems than I have from my blessings, if you will. And it's just the way the world works, I think. And you know, right. the most important thing, when you look back on your dozen or so tough challenges, is they don't bother you. You can remember how bad you felt, and even that kind of slips away. But all of those issues and problems and frustrations that you had, they're gone because you've moved on to something else. So they don't stay with you. They just happen to be there at the time. And I think that's the best thing, that if you can look at your life and say, hey, yeah, this is difficult. Whatever mess I'm in now, and I used to say to myself when I was at least towards the end of my career, when I finally got my hands around some of this stuff, I used to say that only I could have made this kind of mess, and only I am capable of getting myself out of it. And if you do that, it's, you know, life is a lot easier.
Yes, and in the moment while we're going through it, the practice of gratitude can also help us a lot. It's not just having to wait till we are ready to look at the gift in the sandpaper, as one of my clients said. She said, some gifts come wrapped in sandpaper. And that's the practice of resilience, which is to recognize the gift in the difficulty. That's the graduate school. But in the meantime, while we're going through the difficulty, while we're having to deal with the sandpaper, recognizing what else we can appreciate in our lives right this second is also a really helpful technique to survive the difficulty, because it widens our awareness and makes us realize that even though this bad thing is happening, there's good things around us too. And like my dad did when he was dying, that's the way that we get through it, and where it doesn't just totally and absolutely take us over.
Right. You can't let it consume us. And that's what happens. We do get consumed by our difficult issues. But one of your practices here is try to think a little bit about what you don't have. You know, some of the diseases you don't have and the phobias you don't have. I mean, the list is endless on the things that you could have.
The bad things that you don't have. That's right. Yeah. Sometimes that's the only way to get to gratitude.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. You look around, you see these other people and say, well, I don't have that problem. So, yep. Yeah. Now, the other thing you talk about, and I wanted to touch on, is how we view ourselves. And I think we're pretty hard on ourselves. And one of the things you said is we never look to others for fulfillment because they can't give it to you. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that so what we're talking about here is self-appreciation. So gratitude is the practice of appreciation. And one of the things we absolutely positively have to begin to appreciate is ourselves and in ourselves and our specificity. Like, it's not, I think we lose the point when we say, I'm great, I'm wonderful. That doesn't actually do anything for our brain. Because there's always a part that goes, well, you're not so good over here. What about that? So again, you start to notice the negative. But it's more like, how are you great? And how are you wonderful? What are the gifts that you have? What are the talents that you have? What are your values? And the more that we recognize those things, then the more that we can then use ourselves in such a way that's fulfilling. When we look to somebody else to fulfill us, then we are always dependent on them. And if we're always afraid that if they leave, we're going to not be able to survive. We're not going to be able to stand up on our own two feet. We, the key to our safety deposit box is inside of them, as a friend of mine once said. And that's a spiritual emergency. It's got to be inside of you, because otherwise you're terrified all the time that they're going to go away.
Yeah. Lack. You said we live in a world of material plenty and emotional lack. Talk about that.
Well, I think that part of what happens, and and because of our training in our lives. So we live in a very materialistic society, and everything around us are messages about what we should have and must have. And that creates a sense of lack. We keep noticing all that we don't have, and we somehow think if we had it, then we're going to be happy. You know, we absolutely have to have, those new headphones, that the new car, the house, the whatever these things are, because that we're being broadcast all the time. We're always being told to pay attention to what we don't have. We got 10 wrong on the test. We need to be like this, 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 and this. And so we go around in a sense of lack, where we feel insufficient. We don't have enough material stuff that we shouldn't have, and we don't have enough interior stuff to deal with life. The more we focus on what we don't have, the more we recognize the lack. The more we focus on what we do have, both externally, well, I do have a roof over my head, yay, and also internally, what resources do I have to deal with the challenges of my life? What qualities have gotten me this far, and how can I use them even more? Then we create a sense of abundance and happiness.
You point out that we have a multi-billion dollar cosmetic industry that is totally focused on our lack, our fear of lack.
Yes, I've reached the point of in life where have the sags and bags that come with aging. And I can't tell you how many hundreds and thousands of dollars of creams get pushed to me in my email and every single day. Somehow they know I'm of that demographic, and I could spend billions of dollars trying to make myself look like I wasn't 60 years old, right? And it doesn't work anyway, but the focus on you have a problem, there's something wrong with you, and here are this $120 little tiny container of cream will fix this for you.
Exactly. Now you had in here, and I want to go over them. We hit a couple of them, but the best ways to get us to bring more gratitude into our life, and I want to go through these things and have you talk about them. Our daily practice, you talked a little bit about that. Go ahead.
Do you have anything to add on that? Yeah, you can go around the table like I do, but you can also have, I know friends who email one thing that they appreciate to somebody, a friend of theirs, and the other person emails what they appreciate. So they do a daily practice. I often have clients of mine put a sticky on their steering wheel. What are you thankful for today? That they think about when they're driving home from work. So whatever it is that you make it routine, because the more that you make it a routine around it, then the more it's easier to remember, and the more you'll build the muscle, the habit in your brain. So that's one. Another one, especially because of cell phones, we can all do this. You can get a reminder, a pop-up on your phone, you know, an alarm that dings. That's another way to remind yourself. And when it dings, you just think, what am I thankful for right now? Be sure, and we just talked about this, make sure you're including yourself. What did you do well today? What are you thankful for yourself for? The more we appreciate ourselves, the more that we recognize the good qualities we have to work with, essentially.
Right.
Another one is, this is one of my favorite ones, is have a little pebble that you carry in your pocket, and every time you feel it, you think of something you're thankful for.
Your gratitude rock, as you refer to it in the book.
Yes, yes. One of the we talked about looking for the hidden blessings and challenges. This is a wonderful one. Depending on how you think, it'll work one way or another for you. So either imagine that this day is the first day of your life, and everything you're seeing you've never seen before. It's an amazing practice in appreciation. Like you're seeing the color yellow and you never saw it before. The trees are popping with leaves right now. Wow, imagine you never had seen this. How amazing the world is. So that's an example. Or some people it works to say, if this is the last day of your life, how you would treasure it. So one or the other of those would, you know, try that. And I think we've hit on the rest of them already.
Yeah, I think we've touched most of them. Give thanks for your body, what you know, you can appreciate what's right now. a lot of really good things to think about. It's not, I'll tell you, we all have our problems, and it's hard sometimes to see your way, especially when you're in the middle of it. And when you can bring yourself back and get yourself to a point where you can balance yourself out. We have our problems, and as you said, if we can balance ourselves out and bring the good in, a balanced life has huge benefits. And this really helps bring us back from our focus on the negative world, which without doubt is things we have to do, but you don't want to keep doing that. And I think your book has got a lot of real positive things that people can grasp onto, and I would hope they buy the book. And again, it's M.J. Ryan, Attitudes of Gratitude. Tell us, tell the folks what you're doing and how they can find out more about you.
Sure. So I work with individuals around the world, and you can reach me through my website, mj-ryan.com. And there you'll find out not only about Attitudes of Gratitude, but lots of the other books I've written and the resources I have. I've got lots of tools and techniques up there as well. And so I invite you to connect to me through there.
Okay, sounds good. By the way, how did you get? How'd you come to write the book? Why'd you write it?
Well, actually, the reason I did was because when I had used to be a publisher, and we published this little book called Random Acts of Kindness, which turned into this huge movement, that exploded around us and ended up a giant bestseller. And I thought, well, if I'm going to talk about kindness, I better practice it. So I started doing these random acts of kindness, and I got happier. And I'd been kind of a really miserable, negative person until then. So I thought, wow, this is amazing. I wonder if there's other things in our lives that we can do that are really simple to make ourselves happier. And then I studied happy people, and I realized they're all more grateful than me. So I thought, I better figure this gratitude thing out too. So I started studying gratitude and practicing, and I got even happier. And I thought, wow, this is magic. Nobody actually is aware that we have this absolutely free, totally easy, takes only not even a minute to do thing that will make you happy right now. So I became a total and absolute convert.
That's good. So it's obviously had a very positive effect on you and your life.
Yes, it's probably the most powerful positive thing I've ever learned or done.
That's outstanding. MJ, thanks so much for being with us. It's been great fun, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you so much.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes of the Common Sense Spirituality Show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.